White Cop Attacked Black Man for Asking a Question by Darius Spearman. Support African Elements at patreon.com/AfricanElements and hear recent news in a single playlist. Additionally, you can gain early access to ad-free video content. A routine noise complaint in Massachusetts escalated into a violent encounter that has since unveiled deep, persistent issues of police misconduct. In March 2023, Lawrence police arrested Sodiq Folarin Amusat, a black man who was shirtless and shoeless in freezing weather. Inside the police station, his simple, repeated questions for a sweatshirt and an explanation for his arrest were met not with answers, but with brutal force. Surveillance video captured the moment Lawrence police captain Michael Mangan clotheslined Amusat, wrapping an arm around his neck and slamming him backward. Amusat's head struck a metal door and then the hard concrete floor, and two other officers then piled on top of him. This incident is far more than a single officer's loss of temper. It represents the history behind the headlines, a story of racial bias, systemic abuse, and a desperate need for accountability that echoes through generations of black experience with law enforcement. The subsequent actions of Captain Mangan, his department, and the local prosecutor's office reveal a system often more protective of its own than the citizens it is sworn to serve. Furthermore, the video evidence became a critical turning point, exposing a false narrative and forcing a conversation that continues to unfold on a national stage. A tale of two reports, police misconduct on camera. After the assault, Captain Michael Mangan filed an official report. He claimed that Sodiq Folarin Amusat was assaultive and had tried to grab his face. This official narrative painted Amusat as the aggressor, justifying the use of force. The surveillance video, however, told a completely different story. The footage showed no aggression from Amusat, only a man asking for basic human dignity and answers. Mangan's report was a fabrication, a clear attempt to cover up his own violent actions. False reporting is a destructive form of police misconduct, as it erodes public trust and obstructs justice. Nationally, perjury accounts for over 10% of police misconduct cases, highlighting how often official accounts can be misleading without independent evidence. Despite the clear video evidence contradicting Mangan's story, the Essex County District Attorney's Office initially refused to file criminal charges. They claimed the high legal standard of proving guilt beyond a reasonable doubt could not be met. This decision left the community wondering how such a clear act of violence, caught on tape, could go unpunished. The situation reflects a broader pattern in Massachusetts, where between 2016 and 2021, only 17% of 3,255 civilian complaints of police misconduct were ruled in favor of civilians. The initial lack of action in Mangan's case, therefore, showcased the immense challenge of holding officers accountable at the local level. The blue wall and a pattern of behavior. The reluctance to hold officers accountable is often supported by an unwritten rule in policing known as the blue wall of silence. This informal code discourages officers from reporting on their colleagues' misconduct, fostering a culture of impunity where loyalty to fellow officers outweighs the duty to uphold the law. This culture is sometimes enabled by noble cause corruption, where officers believe they are justified in breaking rules to achieve a greater good, like getting a supposed criminal off the streets. This mindset can lead to illegal searches or, as in Mangan's case, fabricating reports to justify excessive force. This was not an isolated issue within the Lawrence Police Department. In March 2024, just a year after the attack on Amusat, the department's acting police chief, William Castro, was suspended after being accused of being untruthful in a report about a vehicle pursuit. This suggests a recurring problem with honesty and accountability at multiple levels of the department's leadership. Although the incident with Captain Mangan involved two other officers who piled on Amusat, the federal indictment has focused solely on Mangan, leaving questions about accountability for all involved parties. This pattern unfortunately reinforces the perception that the system protects its own even when misconduct is clear. Federal charges and the fight for justice. Over a year after the assault, in October 2025, the justice system finally responded. Captain Michael Mangan, who had since retired after a 20-year career, was indicted on federal charges. The charges were deprivation of rights under color of law and making a false report. The federal charge is a crucial tool for justice when state-level prosecutions fail. It makes it a crime for any official to willfully use their authority to take away someone's constitutional rights. Mangan has pleaded not guilty to these charges. In addition to the criminal case, Amusat has filed a civil rights lawsuit against Mangan and the City of Lawrence. The lawsuit seeks damages for excessive force and other tortious conduct, which refers to wrongful acts that cause harm and lead to civil liability. Amusat's suit claims he suffered physical injuries, pain, humiliation, and emotional damage. Critically, it also accuses the City of Lawrence of allowing a culture of poor supervision and discipline that enabled Mangan's actions. This legal battle, consequently, aims not only to seek justice for Amusat, but also to hold the entire system responsible for its failures. Racial bias in policing by the numbers. The violent arrest of Sodiq Folarin Amusat is not an outlier, but a reflection of deep-seated racial disparities in policing. Statistics from Massachusetts and across the nation paint a grim picture. In 2020, black people in Massachusetts were arrested at 2.9 times the rate of white people, and Hispanic people were arrested at twice the rate. This overrepresentation extends to the criminal justice system, where black and Latino individuals are less likely to have their cases resolved with less severe dispositions, such as dismissals or diversion programs, and often receive longer sentences when incarcerated. These disparities are rooted in a combination of factors, including policing strategies like the broken windows theory, which targets minor offenses and disproportionately affect communities of color. Implicit bias among officers can also influence split-second decisions, leading to unequal treatment. The minority threat hypothesis suggests that increased police presence and aggression are often directed at communities of color due to perceived threats. This history, as a result, creates a landscape where a simple request for a sweatshirt can be seen as a challenge to authority, leading to a violent and unjust response. The national landscape of police accountability. The use of force against black Americans is a national crisis. Between 2015 and 2021, black people were 2.5 times more likely than white people to be shot and killed by police. The lifetime risk of being killed by police is estimated at 1 in 1,000 for black men. Furthermore, black Americans experience threats and non-fatal use of force at higher rates during police encounters. In 2020, black individuals were almost 12 times more likely than white individuals to report police misconduct, including racial slurs or bias. These statistics are not just numbers. They are lived experiences that create a deep and justified mistrust between the black community and law enforcement. Holding officers accountable for this misconduct remains a significant hurdle nationwide. Over the last decade, at least 85,000 law enforcement officers have been investigated or disciplined for misconduct. However, in most police forces, less than 10% of officers ever face an investigation. Of those investigated, only about 8% are found to have committed misconduct. These figures show a system that rarely delivers justice for victims. The Mangan case is a stark reminder that even with video evidence, accountability is not guaranteed and often requires federal intervention to move forward, thus demonstrating the systemic challenge at hand. Massachusetts's path to police reform. In response to public outcry and high-profile cases of police violence, Massachusetts has taken steps toward reform. A landmark 2020 police reform law established the Peace Officer Standards and Training Commission. This independent, majority civilian board is responsible for certifying all police officers in the state. Its key power is the ability to decertify, suspend, or reprimand officers for serious misconduct, such as felony convictions, bias, or repeatedly sustained complaints. A sustained complaint is an allegation that investigators have confirmed with sufficient evidence. The Post Commission also maintains a public database of disciplinary records to increase transparency. The 2020 law also implemented other critical changes, including a ban on chokeholds, limits on no-knock warrants, and a duty to intervene that requires officers to step in when they witness a colleague using excessive force. Further reforms are still being considered, such as eliminating qualified immunity for officers, which often shields them from civil lawsuits, and creating an independent special prosecutor for police abuse cases. While these reforms are positive steps, the case of Captain Mangan and the persistent racial disparities show that the work